Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In the book 100-Foot Journey by Richard Murray, we hear the story of a young Indian boy, Hassan, who through a series of unexpected twists and turns finds himself training to be a French chef. From the chaotic and colorful streets of Mumbai, India, to the cold of London, England, and finally to the picturesque mountain town of Lumiere, France, each chapter is quite literally a new opportunity to step out in faith. At some point, Hassan reflects on his life, saying, "There are many points in life when we cannot see what awaits us around the corner. And it is precisely at such times, when our faith forward is unclear, that we must be brave, resolutely putting one foot in front of the other." I want to briefly reflect with you this morning on the vignette from Paul's letter to the Romans and how his words might equip and empower all of you for what God is doing in your midst as you boldly and with great anticipation step out in faith to journey with Jesus into your next chapter. One of the things we believe about the nature of God is that the author of all life is an eternal relationship of three persons, what we call the Trinity. And out from this steadfast community, God initiated creation, not simply just to delight in it, but made for it for the very purpose of having relationship. In her book, The Dream of God, theologian Verna Dozier urged her readers to reclaim their identity as children of God and to live into our high calling as the baptized community. Through the gift of Jesus, God dreams to restore all people back to their true selves and to be in relationship with one another and of all creation. God came among us to manifest love and healing and grace and mercy. And in so doing, God also came to know in the most intimate of ways what it means to be human. Likewise, as Paul states in his letter, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, God yearns to help us when we are vulnerable, scared, in pain, and lost. Truly, God is present to all matters of this life. The biblical record also teaches us that another part of God's nature is to always make the first move, to create, to breathe life, to offer manifold blessings. So, my friends, God is always in our midst, waiting to be in relationship with you and with me, to be known and to know. And so one of the ways we nurture our relationship with God is through prayer. Just as we participate in Holy Eucharist to bring the very essence of God into our bodies, prayer is equally a holy act of communion. Now, of course, God already knows our inmost thoughts. Prayer isn't merely the words we use to confess our failings or lament our griefs. Prayer isn't simply the sounds we make when we are offering petition for long-held hopes or offering praise for humble gifts. Paul shares that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. It seems prayer is the profound practice of deeply abiding in the presence of love and exhaling, emptying the deepest part of ourself in order so that we can inhale and be filled with God's self. Through prayer, we come to trust that we are never alone, that God is always with us. As Paul so beautifully wrote, "For I am convinced that nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Prayer is not just the way to nurture our relationship with God, but it is also the source of comfort and strength, the wellspring of patience and strength and joy. What is more, prayer is the process through which we discern and discover God's unique call for our lives, individually and corporately, and how our talents might meet the needs of a desperately hurting and divided world. My friends, prayer is what empowers and equips us to step out in faith into an unknown future, so that no matter where we are, we may love deeply the way Jesus loves. In the early months of 2019, I began meeting with your vestry and soon your newly formed discernment committee to begin the work of listening to the movement of the Holy Spirit revealing God's mission here at Grace. And through holy conversations and surveys, the threads of your story began to emerge to compose a parish profile. Following both of these parish-wide offerings, the discernment committee listed on big pieces of newsprint what they had heard from all of you, the needs and goals of the parish, and the hope for qualities in the person who would walk alongside you and lead you into your next chapter. It was exciting to imagine all of the things that this unknown priest might be: a dynamic preacher, a solid administrator, great with children and youth, able to connect with people of all generations, wise, kind, energetic, deeply prayerful, engaged in the community, and a witness for justice. And the list went on and on and on. At one point, I think I asked the discernment committee, "So who does this sound like?" And someone responded, "Sounds like Jesus." Your discernment committee worked hard to pray and discern a priest who looked more like a real person rather than Jesus of Nazareth. Ultimately, your vestry sought a rector who possessed the gifts that you uniquely need, a priest who will love you and serve you faithfully and walk alongside you in the journey of faith for years to come. And the priest you ended up calling, the Reverend Millie Morrow, very much fit your profile. And now here you are, just 1 week away from when she starts working from her office. And I know that expectation and anticipation are very high. They should be. You've been in a long season of transition, and this event, the arrival of your rector, your new shepherd, has been much awaited for. Now, it's easy to regress back into that newsprint mindset to project all of your biggest hopes onto Millie and also all of your fears. So let this be a friendly reminder. Millie is not Jesus. She is simply herself, which is exactly who she ought to be. It is not Millie's job to save you. It is her job to walk alongside you, to call you back into community, to pastor, and to preach, to cajole, and to champion. And as such, God is inviting you to make room in your life for Millie. The task before you is to get to know her, to welcome her personally and humbly, bravely being yourself and sharing your stories and allowing her to do the same. Back when priests all lived in little rectories on the grounds of their parishes, there was this great tradition called pounding the pantry. When a new priest arrived in town and opened the door to the place where they would be living, often sight unseen, they would find that the congregation had already stocked the pantry with dry goods and staples, making it feel a little bit more like home. Flour, rice, coffee, sugar, all there waiting for them. It's a small thing, really, but a very special and kind of unique gift. A way of saying, we've got you. We care about you. And most powerfully, it's a way of saying, we've been expecting you all along. Now, I'm not recommending that you break into Millie's house with bags of flour and cans of coffee. But there are other ways of expanding our understanding of the traditional pounding the pantry. Ways that you can meaningfully and authentically welcome your new rector. So I'll give you three ideas. First and foremost, pray for her. Hopefully you've been doing this already, but if not, now is the time to start. Just as you are in a state of transition, so is Millie. Any one of you who has transitioned for a new job knows exactly how this feels. Everything is strangely new. So pray for Millie's transition, for her family and her friends. Pray in earnest for the exciting and sometimes hard adventure of beginning again. Indeed, for Millie, the distance between her house and Grace is much, much greater than a mere couple of blocks. So give her time to get settled. Don't come at her all at once. Let this be as soft a landing as possible, because you have years, years of ministry ahead together. Second, show up for Millie. Support her by making grace and your own spiritual life a high priority right now. Come to virtual church. In fact, this afternoon, after worship is over, call all those friends that you haven't seen here in a while and tell them about how excited you are for your new rector to arrive. Invite them to join you for virtual church on her first Sunday. Attend any virtual getting to know you events and Bible studies and other Christian formation opportunities. And then continue to show up when you are able to gather for any and all in-person events. You've been waiting a long time for Millie, but she's also been waiting a long time for you. Remember that you are partners in this ministry, and her success is directly related to your level of involvement. And third, my friends, now is the time to practice the gift of patience. Relationships take time. I have no doubt Millie will make some mistakes, and she will probably do something to disappoint you. And many of you will make some mistakes and probably do something that disappoints her. But it's with patience and love that we go to each other and forgive one another. Because we do this assured that we are not alone. God is indeed with us and knows what it means to be human. Prayer, attentively showing up, patience, and forgiveness all contribute to building the foundation of faithful, genuine relationships and trust. I can't wait to see where the journey of your new beginning leads. And know that as you step out in faith, you are not alone. God is here, and you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that love you. Amen.